Good morning. Welcome again to According to the Scriptures. My name is Kyle Webb, and I serve as the minister for the Mars Hill Church of Christ, meets in Christiana, Tennessee. We're happy that you joined our program. We are endeavoring to spend some time this year going through the Bible, and so these lessons go along with that theme. Today's lesson is one of my favorite stories. The lesson for today is one of my favorite stories, and it's found in 1 Kings chapter 18. And it's a great and awesome display of God's power, especially in comparison with idolatry. But before we get into our lesson for today, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of life that we have, and we thank you for the ability to study your word together. We pray that you would bless our studies, bless our understanding of your word. We pray that you would help us to apply it to our lives and help us to live a good example and teach your truth to the world. And we thank you for your son, the one that you gave to die on the cross for us. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. Our lesson for today really begins going back to verse 15 of 1 Kings chapter 18, and the real meat of the lesson begins in verse 20, but to get the context, we need to go back a little bit. In verse 15, 1 Kings 18, it says this: "Then Elijah said, 'As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today.' So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table.'" One of the greatest problems in Israel was that they had subjected themselves to idol worship. Instead of serving the God who had led Israel in so many different things that they had done, so many great and awesome wonders. He had led them to cross the Red Sea. He had taken care of them in the wilderness, providing for them food and water and everything that they needed, and all the great things that God had done for them. And even coming up into Joshua and how he had allowed them to cross the Jordan and to defeat the city of Jericho. God allowed his people to see his awesome power on many, many occasions. And yet they still subjected themselves to idol worship. Ahab and Jezebel, as the leaders of Israel, had taught them these things. That they hadn't tried to reform Israel at all. And when we get to this point, we see that there are 450 prophets of Baal and 400 other prophets of Asherah. Idolatrous worship was a very big part of Israel, but it was about to be destroyed. In verse 20 of 1 Kings 18, we read this: "So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 and 50 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. I'm sure they sincerely believed that Baal would answer them, that their prophets, that their gods would come through and prove that they were true. But they are about to be proven wrong. It doesn't matter what you believe sincerely. It may be deep within your heart. You may believe it with all your heart. That doesn't make it true. And these people are about to be proved otherwise. Verse 25. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull, which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar with which they had made. They were calling on their God. They were calling for his great and mighty power to come and to light this altar, to answer with fire. Nothing. Verse 27, and so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Where was Baal? Where was their God? It wasn't there. Verse 30, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. The God that the people had put their trust in was not in existence. He did not answer them whenever they called for him. He was not there. But when Elijah called on the God of Israel, they found out that the one that they had forgotten about, the one that they had lost hope in, was the true God of Israel. We see a lesson here. No matter what we may put our trust in, that is not the God that we should serve. You may look at this lesson and think, well, you know, we don't have any idols today. There's no idolatrous worship like this. We don't have statues and things of that nature that we bow down to necessarily. There are some, but very few in number as far as we are concerned that actually follow along with serving idols of that kind. And we don't have idols necessarily like Baal. We don't have those that we put our trust in to provide us all of our needs and things of that nature. But we do have idols in our day and time. They're just idols of a different kind. We have money. We have things that we put before God, ball games and things of that nature that place themselves in a more important role than God. But these things that we might look at and worship, even people, celebrities and things of that nature, when we look at people like that, we look at things and we put them before God, they've become an idol to us. Can they provide for us? Can they make our lives better? In time of need, are they there for us? No. But so many people have put their trust in idols. Elijah, we look at him and he believed that he was alone. We're going to look at that in a moment as well. He believed that he was the only one left that served God in the way that he was supposed to. Because idolatrous worship had become so rampant. We see that God showed himself to be the God that the people should serve. We should see it as an example for us today that he's still the same God. He's still the same God that had power to show the people by fire that He is the one true God. Today he teaches us that message through his word and through the examples such as this one that we have that we can read and understand and believe by faith. He shows us that he is the God that we should serve. And we would do well to hear the message. And just as the people were turned back to serving God, as Elijah had stated, we should be turned to serving God, especially if we have fallen away. As I mentioned before, there's a time here when Elijah feels that he is the only one, and God is going to tell him otherwise. Let's move to chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Let's begin reading at verse 11. Actually, let's go back up and read verse 10 and then read into verse 11. So Elijah said in verse 10, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of the hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." And sometimes I think we as Christians feel alone. When we look at the church over the world and we look at the denominations and we compare the two, we see that churches of Christ seem few in number and fewer every day. We have congregations that close their doors and become smaller. And I think we, too, feel like Elijah did, that we are alone. But, you know, God has always had his people. And I don't see that changing to the end of time. Even though we may be few in number, or feel like we're few in number, I believe that there are a great many more out there in the world that we don't know about. We need to trust in God to provide for us and to provide everything that we need to spread his word throughout the world. You know, as preachers, we may feel unsuccessful at times. Noah went about preaching. As we read in Scripture, he was a preacher of righteousness, and he built the ark. And all that time that he was building the ark, he was preaching. And yet, we see that only a few souls were saved. And they were all related to him. It was his family. So, when we feel unsuccessful, we need to remember examples like this. Remember what was said to Elijah, that there are a lot many more that you don't know about that have not bowed down to Baal. You're not alone. We're never alone. God is always with us, and He will guide us, and whatever we may face, whatever we may be doing, we need to trust Him to provide for our every need. But we need to learn to trust Him. And not idols, not material possessions that we have, not our riches and wealth. None of those things matter. We're told to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where thief and moth and rust and all those things, they have no place. Our treasure is laid up in heaven with God. We need to look to Him for everything that we need. He will provide for us. Remember that we're not alone. We as Christians have a duty here on this earth to spread the gospel to the world. We need to be faithful to our duty. I thank you for being with us today, and I hope that this lesson has been an encouragement to you. I hope that it has strengthened your faith to remember God's power and might. And remember that He is always with us. Even in times of despair and depression and things of that nature, God is always with us. And He will always be with us to the end as long as we are faithful to Him. I hope that you'll join us again next week, Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. as we study another portion of God's Word together. Thank you for joining us today. And until we meet again, may God bless you.